Think of a song you really love.
Don't you want to know why you love it so much?
Well, we can't answer that.
No, but we can deep dive into it anyway.
Unless we get too sidetracked.
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast.
One musician.
And one psychologist.
Talking about iconic songs. The musical tricks that blow our minds.
And what they show us about our minds.
Join us each week as we pick apart everything from TLC to Weezer.
And from Billie Eilish to Bruno Mars, with plenty of distractions in between.
Check out Never Mind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Marvel Animation fans, if your spidey senses are tingling, that's because it's time for another trip through the MC universe, or should I say MC multiverse, with Comics Versus, a Lorehounds podcast. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Jean, and we're finally catching up on that dope-ass first season of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man on Disney+. We'll start with some quick spoiler-free reactions for those of you considering whether to watch the show. Before setting off your Peter tingle with a spoiler warning to really get into the plot and characters.
And consider this also your blanket spoiler warning for all other previous Marvel stories on the screener page, which we might bring up while discussing. But we're here today to specifically talk about this first season of the new animated series, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which is it's offering a fresh new origin story for Peter Parker with his whole coterie of allies and antagonists and some other fresh faces from the Marvel canon. But this is set, it's not set in the main Marvel MCU 616 universe. This is set in an adjacent universe. So it shares some of the same characters and major events with MCU, but also has a lot of significant differences. And Sean, let's get right into it. What is your spoiler free? We're going to be spoiler free after the break. Hot take on this season.
I really enjoyed it. And as you know, Alicia, I came into this very skeptical, wanting another, you know, Peter Parker origin story, not wanting another high school drama with Peter, because I feel like we've seen that done so many times and I'm ready to do something else with the character. But I was shockingly surprised at how much I enjoyed and was enjoying each episode. And to put, you know, the icing on the cake, my 8-year-old really, really enjoyed watching this series. So I wholeheartedly approve of this Spider-Man. I can't wait to see more of this universe, more stories that get to be told. And truly, I think they did a great job with the character building in this first season. And I'm really excited to see where they take the story.
Yeah, this was originally going to be called, was it like Spider-Man freshman year or something like that? And then they were going to have a sophomore year. And the original plan was to do a four-year high school arc. And they were originally going to do it within the original MC universe, you know, with the specific Tom Holland Spider-Man. But then they decided, like, well, first of all, let's not restrict ourselves to doing one full year of high school a year. Let's just let's let it be looser. So we have this first season already out in full now. In 2026, we're getting season two, and they've already started development on season three. So they said that, you know, if all goes well, they would love for there to be a new one of these every year, basically.
That's really awesome. I think they deserve the second season, see what they can get with it. The third season, the fourth season. I mean, if the team stays intact and they're telling the story in the way that they told this first season, then yeah, keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah. The showrunner for this is Jeff Tramiel. And I looked into his portfolio of what he's done before, and he has a lot of experience with animation, but mostly like geared younger and not stuff that I've watched myself. So he was kind of an unknown entity, but I think he did a good job. There's a clear vision. There's, you know, it's well paced, pulls from a lot of different places and combines things well. I was saying before we got on here, I can't think of anything negative to say about the show, you know? I think the art style was apparently controversial to some. I personally love it. It's intentionally like trying to be comic book style, but I think it's really cool to see something different with the thick lines. And
absolutely. Yeah. I thought the art was great. The animation I actually really liked it. As you know, I'm still collecting and reading comic books. So to have that style on screen in a way that wasn't cheesy was really dope. They did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sucked in. It's a story about friendship at the core. But it really gets me invested in a whole bunch of different relationships between Peter and the people in his life and worried about the future of them, of course. So
yeah,
it did well on that part. It also, even like, there are characters that are canonically villains, and I know there's got to be a term, but I'm rooting for them nonetheless. I'm like, maybe this is like it, Mark and Invincible. I'm like, maybe this is the one universe where they're good.
I don't know.
I found it a really satisfying season finale.
Yes, it was really good.
But it really, really ties it back up with the start of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, they tied everything up. No loose ends. Mm-mm. No, there was nothing left to say. The credits rolled, I wasn't saying to myself, oh my gosh, what happened to so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
They did very good television series. It was very good.
Yeah, but they set up things for next season. Like, you know, Nico, I am really excited to get more of Nico's backstory. And I agree that the first season, it's not about her, but they gave us teases in the end that say, okay, we're going to learn more about her next season.
Yes.
And
yes.
Other characters too. So, and what an inspired decision to have Colman Domingo as Norman Osborn, and can we please get him playing Norman Osborn in live action?
He's so good in this.
Yeah.
The voice acting, across the board, the voice acting was really great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they did, I mean, some of the characters, we'll talk about it as we go through in the spoiler side, some of the characters are like the live action cast. Some of them are the voice, like the Spider-Man himself is the voice who played him in What If? So it is meant to stay close to the live action casting of these. So there's hope. Crossing my fingers.
Let's see.
Do you think that people need to have seen anything else before watching this?
No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
This is a rare thing where actually there's nothing you need to do to prep. It might even be more fun for you. We're about to spoil a bunch of stuff in a minute, but it might be fun for you to not know all of like the baggage and backstory of all the various Spider-Man stories, because this is doing something different.
Right. Yeah. You don't need to have any knowledge of Peter Parker, Spider-Man, in order to jump into this series from episode one.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to say before I take off the spoiler gag order?
No, let's get into it.
All right. Spoilers. So We've got 15-year-old Peter Parker, who's supposed to start his freshman year at Midtown High School, the science-focused high school we see him attending in the main MCU. But an alien attack derails those plans, sending Peter down a new path with new allies at Rockford T. Bales High School instead, but not before he's bitten by a mysterious spider that gives him superpowers. So, yeah, we have, as Peter Parker, like I said, it's the guy who played him in What If, Hudson Thames, and I mean, he sounds a lot like Tom Holland. I think that was one of the reasons he was cast. I think he does a good job, and we're going to ignore any comments he made that used the word woke.
I may not ignore it, but...
Basically, anyone who doesn't know, he said, I was really relieved that it wasn't woke or whatever, like I was afraid it was going to be. So, like, okay, moving on past that. You did a good job. So we got a nice evolution of costumes. We had Peter's homemade costume, which was replaced by the white costume from Oscorp, and then eventually he lands on the classic blue and red costume. Did you have favorites amongst these?
The white costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also really like the white costume. I mean, I'll say the classic one is it's like my least favorite.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought the white that whole episode with him trying on the different costumes was hilarious.
Yeah,
it was really good stuff. But yeah, I think my favorite was indeed the white.
I do like though also his homemade costume just because it's different than what we've seen before.
It was like kind of a throwback to Miles Morales for me when he first started. You know, getting his spider powers, and he didn't have a suit, and you know he's running around in his sneakers and you know in a hoodie. So it was a nice, you know, like it was very synergistic to that for me.
Okay. And his home life. So it's again, it's him and his Aunt May, as it usually is. Dare I say, this is my favorite iteration of May Parker.
Really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I also really like Marissa Tomei, and this is
clearly... Yeah, that's clearly, what I was about to say.
This is clearly based off of Marissa Tomei with the fact that she's a younger, you know, hipper. But I think that Marissa Tomei's Aunt May... No, actually, she's great. Yeah, it's a tie. I just feel like she didn't... Maybe I'm just mad about things that happened to her.
Yeah, because I thought she did a great job playing that Aunt May.
I just think she should have gotten more.
More, absolutely. And I'm still pissed about her death, so.
Yeah. I mean, it was an effective death. It really hit me, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm still pissed about it, though. Effectively, no, I was just I did not want them to off Aunt May.
No. No, it makes you wonder who's going to die. Because in this version, his Uncle Ben is already dead.
Yes.
He has to canonically lose someone. This is what's established into the Spider-Verse.
No. That's my whole fight against this. He doesn't have to lose someone in order to become who he becomes. Don't have to.
It would be cool if this show overlapped with Beyond the Spider-Verse.
That would be cool.
Because they're definitely addressing those questions in that film, I would say. They were setting that up in the last one. Yeah.
Definitely.
We learn later Peter's father, Richard, is in jail. So although it's kind of implied throughout the series that he's dead, but he's not. He's alive and he's in jail. That's what we learned at the end. But Peter is looking for a father figure throughout. So I wonder if his dad will be the one to die in this version.
No, just no death. No death. Why are you trying to off people? No.
I'm not. It's Spider-Man canon.
No. We don't have to buy into the canon. Oh, my gosh. No.
Okay.
We're going to start calling you Miguel.
what did you think about the twist that his father's alive and in prison?
I thought that was cool because I didn't see it coming.
Mm-hmm. No, I was surprised.
I also assumed he had passed away. So yeah. I definitely didn't see it coming. I thought that was a nice twist to have like this secret that he doesn't know, that he's, you know, in mourning basically for his family, but his family's still alive. And for whatever reason, they've decided not to tell him, you know? So what did he do to get locked up? And why did they make such a point of him not knowing that his father's locked
up? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because May is like being covert the entire season. Yes. Like it seems like she's working late, but then at the end, it's kind of implied that she's going and visiting Peter's father.
Yeah.
I guess his father is her brother. Is that how it goes? Or he's Uncle Ben's brother?
I think he's Uncle Ben's brother.
Okay. Yeah. And we got Doctor Strange in full time loop mode. We got, first of all, I just have to say the look of Doctor Strange. I love that he's like ripped straight off the classic comic pages, even with like the spotted gloves and stuff.
Yes.
But the one distracting thing is his mustache, which is from the comic.
You didn't like the mustache?
No, I mean, I like that he has it, but it needed to be just like half a centimeter lower because it was distracting me that it was coming straight out of his nostrils.
Oh, I didn't.
It looked like it was growing out of his nostrils. That's my one. I said no complaints. It's my one complaint. Just half a centimeter lower.
Okay.
But yeah, I like the whole story where he shows up in the opening and he doesn't know who Peter is. And that makes sense, you know. And then he shows up at the end and he still doesn't know who Peter is. But then we find out it's because, of course, as soon as that is Venom, right? The creature that comes through.
Yeah, definitely. It's a symbiote. Yeah.
Yeah. So as soon as the symbiote comes through the portal, I was like, oh, it's going to be a time loop. The entire season is a time loop. It was well done. So we have Doctor Strange with the time stone. And so that's why he's like, at first when he was like, I didn't destroy the high school, I thought, oh, was someone impersonating him? And then when I saw the symbiote, I'm like, oh, I see. He just didn't do it yet.
Right.
But this leads to this whole interesting bootstrap paradox origin bite for Peter where this. So, okay. What do you think happened with the spider that bit him? Like the spider got the blood and then went through the time loop and then bit past Peter and turned him into a superhero.
I thought the spider was already radioactive when it went through the time loop.
Right. Because they were studying it with his blood that they took from him in the Oscorp lab.
Yes. Yeah. So that was how, but again, it is which came first or how did it come about?
Right.
So that's a question that E asked. He said, Papa, I'm trying to understand how the spider was in the future, but then was also in the past. And I said, yeah, man, that's the comics, buddy. That's comics, buddy. With a straight ass face. That's what I said. And I quickly changed the subject. Because trying to go down that rabbit hole with an 8-year-old, oh, goodness gracious. But he picked up on that.
Why?
But he picked up on it and, you know, I don't have an answer as to which came first.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the show left us with, like, there is no answer.
Yeah, maybe.
And then there's also, so that Venom-type creature, obviously vanquished at the end, but left behind some goo found by Norman. So that's definitely going to play into season 2.
Yeah. We'll get to see who actually becomes a Venom for that universe.
Yeah. Yeah, so you and I have been talking about the new Daredevil show. We have Charlie Cox here himself playing Daredevil. And he only shows up, I kind of expected more, but I think he was well used and kind of set up for a bigger role next season. He just shows up twice. What did you think about Daredevil in this show?
I love that the first scene with him and Peter on the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
That was really well done, you know. Just the way he moves, the way that they showed his power set was really cool. And you also got a sense of how much of a great hand-to-hand martial artist Daredevil is.
Uh-huh.
You know, they really show you that this guy is really good at fighting, which, you know, comes into play when we're watching the live action series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not just his height and senses, but the guy's just really good at fighting, you know? So I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, He's the one, he tells Peter that there's something shady up with Norman, but then we find out that the shady thing with Norman is this gateway thing that this Project Monolith that we see that we were talking about, where that ends up bringing the symbiote into our world. And so it's not like when he said there was something shady going on, I'm like, oh, here we go. Norman Osborn, for anyone who doesn't know, that's the Green Goblin. Like things are starting to go south now. And I thought it was going to be like something. He is exploiting Peter. He is studying his blood, but it's not like in a malicious way.
From jump, I don't trust any Norman Osborn in any universe, right? As soon as that guy was on screen, I'm like, yeah, okay, bad things will happen. So I don't trust him, right? I think that this Norman Osborn is definitely doing multiple things behind the scenes that we're not even privy to yet. I don't believe that everything that he did with Peter Parker was truly singularly out of altruistic means. Like he didn't want, it was just not out of the goodness of his heart. He wants to really help this superhero become the best version of himself. And the way that you become the best version of yourself is to make everybody be afraid of you. That's a red flag, right? Yeah. To me, that's a huge red flag. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think there are things that Daredevil may be investigating beyond the gateway about Norman Osborn. I don't think... go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just think that there are things that he's doing. It just gave me the sense that, you know, he's not simply invested in a gateway or simply invested in Peter. Like there are things he has to be doing on multiple fronts to try to bring about the world that he wants.
Right. Yeah. I mean, sadly, part of me wants this just to be like the one good Norman Osborn, but you're absolutely right. And, you know, as soon as he says with great power comes great respect. And it's another good sign of the writing in this show. It's not like this obvious mustache twirling thing. It's just someone who's, you know, there are definitely lots of people who think that power comes through fear.
Yeah.
And you see, like, he doesn't mean it in an evil way per se. It just might not be what's best for Peter or anyone else.
Right. It's his way or the highway, basically. Right. There's no real room for compromise with Norman. And you can see that in the way that he talks to his son. You know, I just don't buy this veneer that he's just, you know, somebody who's trying to do good, trying to do right for the people. There's something else happening.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of like them being on the same side, but that's always how it starts in a Spider-Man story.
And then his rivalry with Octavius, you know, it's just using Peter to get what he wanted, you know, to happen to Octavius as well.
Yeah, so we have Otto Octavius also in this, Doc Ock, and we'll talk more about his whole story in this. But they position Norman Osborn and Otto Octavius as rivals in this. Do you think they will team up?
No.
No, don't think we're getting a Sinister Six?
I mean, Green Goblin is notorious for being insane. Otto Octavius is not. You could argue that they are not on the same wavelength. Like Otto, Doc Ock, and Green Goblin, while they both hate Spider-Man, I don't hesitate in thinking that Green Goblin would throw Doc Ock off a bridge if he could.
Sure, but that doesn't mean that they won't team up for a short-term purpose, right?
I don't know. It could happen, but I don't think it will in this story.
Okay. Maybe not in like season two, maybe in like season four.
I think we'll get some version of the Sinister Six with Ock being the person that puts the team together, like giving out different sorts of, mm-hmm. you know, paraphernalia to different, you know, groups. Like he already helped the Scorpion become the Scorpion. You could possibly find the Vulture, you know, things like that. Right. So I can see that happening, but I just don't think in this first season, the way that they position Harry, the way they position Norman
mm-hmm.
is in any way on the same page or headed towards the same thing that Octavius is headed for. They put them as adversaries, and I think it's going to stay like that.
Okay. Well, speaking of adversaries, so this is also, you know, we said there's events in common. This is set right after like Captain America Civil War took place in the MCU. So we've had that whole thing with the Sokovia Accords, which, reminder for anyone who doesn't know, Sokovia Accords are basically, they said like superheroes should be registered with the government because they are dangerous weapons running around. And Civil War was a result of Iron Man took the side of, yes, sir, we should register for the government because we are dangerous weapons. And Captain America was like, fuck no. you're not going to control us. That's called fascism, and that's not my America. So we have Thaddeus Ross who shows up. And Thaddeus Ross, he was played by William Hurt in the past. So during this time, he was the Secretary of State. In the modern MCU, he's played by Harrison Ford, and he's the president. But this is from the past, so he looks like Thaddeus Ross in this. And we had Iron Man, true to his Civil War, I'm serving the government, stepping in to help Thaddeus Ross arrest Otto. What did you think of all that?
I think it's so interesting that Tony Stark is Tony Stark in whatever universe Tony Stark is in, you know? Like, it's the same guy, you know? And I think that's very interesting that they did that. Also, that Cap is the same guy, right? Same sort right. of morals that these two have, because they've been set up in the MCU proper as the, you know, the pinnacle, right? Mm-hmm. These are the two heroes of heroes, right? So now seeing different universes where they're essentially, you know, they don't get off that, their pivot. They're the same guy, the same person through and through. Maybe slight variations here and there, but when it comes to the bigger picture, it looks like we're not going to get any radical Tony Stark or, you know, someone who's going to just tote the line and Cap, which is really cool for me. I like that.
I was thinking about this Civil War conflict from, you know, from the MCU and how it's carried over here. I was thinking it was reminding me of a conversation that Luke and I had during our Silo coverage about mm-hmm. order versus justice.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Iron Man is very much on the side of order and Captain America is on the side of justice. And I was thinking maybe that's why it rubs us so much the wrong way to see the next Captain America jump to the side of order over justice.
That's a great point.
And to be clear, like, you know, Luke makes some, when we were talking about this, he makes some excellent points in favor of order, but also, you know, I make some points in favor of the danger of order. Most dangerous of all, of course, is what we have now, which is neither order nor justice.
I think the disappointment for, you know, Sam Wilson, MCU Captain America, is that, yes, he's on the side of order when he knows that justice is not being done.
Right. Okay.
It's not like Sam is oblivious. Mm-hmm. He's not. He's actively choosing to turn the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so problematic for me in that portrayal of the character.
So it bothers you less when Iron Man does it because he thinks he's doing the right thing. And you're saying, Sam, in Brave New World knew he was doing the wrong thing.
Absolutely. Okay. And I, you know, I don't like what Iron Man is doing. I'm not saying it's okay.
No.
I'm saying that he just thinks that he's doing the right thing, truly, and that he's wrong for it.
Yeah.
But Sam is seeing that what he's actively doing is in conflict with what he should be doing. Mm-hmm. He knows it.
Mm-hmm.
When he looks at you know, Isaiah, he knows he's wrong in that moment, but still he forces that viewpoint down our throats and down Isaiah's throat. And that is the heinous act for me in that movie.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. So with Iron Man in this show, one thing that was like advertised to us is as a difference between the Spider-Man story that we experienced in the MCU in this version is that instead of Iron Man, he's basically the protege of Norman Osborn at this point. But as we've already discussed, Norman Osborn is likely to go off the deep end at some point.
it always happens.
It always happens. Maybe not this time. but so the fact that they've introduced Iron Man, do you think that means he'll slot into that role? Or do you think it'll be more Doctor Strange instead?
You know,
or Daredevil.
I hope none of the above.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man has always tried to figure out things on his own. He's had no real, you know, person to look up to. And, you know, he's never been a protege. He's never been a sidekick, right? He's got this power at a young age and he went out and learned on his own, made his mistakes and learned from his mistakes, picked himself back up and became better for them. So I really hope that's what we get, that yes, he has a support network, but when he's as a superhero, I never really liked the idea that he's being, you know, shown the superhero life by these older guys and gals who have been doing this for far longer than he has. That's not Spidey for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. More like,
no, that's fair.
I think Miles Morales gets the Spider-Man as that part of Spider-Man more than what we've gotten in the MCU.
Okay. That's fair. I've heard other people say the same. Yeah, maybe that is the thing, because I did also notice in this season, Aunt May at one point, she's like, oh, I wish you had a father figure to look up to. Like, who doesn't need a specific male man to look up to when he has he has a good home life?
Exactly.
With, you know, someone who, with a loving parent and stuff. And some, there are lots of people who have one parent or have two parents of the same gender, and you don't need. And so I was disturbed to hear her say that. And I hope that he will come to the realization that he doesn't need to be looking for a daddy out there.
But I think that's the subversive nature of the show, is that she says that, he finds that. And ultimately we see why what he found was so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he's piecing those things together.
Right.
Like, I don't need that. I don't need what you're saying. And how often growing up did our folks, you know, if we're blessed enough to have had interactions with our parents or, you know, parently figures have said one thing that we needed. And we kind of figured out that the thing that they said that we needed maybe is not really what we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of growing up, right?
So right.
I think they did that intentionally, is what I'm saying.
I think so, too. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Just because overall the writing has been laying these tracks as well with the way it plays with and subverts what everybody knows about Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yes.
So just to point out that the Iron Man in this show is played by Mike Wingert, who also plays it in What If. So again, it seems like a careful casting, probably going to see more of in some way or another. I have to say, though, for me, the casting coup of this show is that they so we have in the live action Spider-Man movies Zach Cherry, who a lot of people will know as Dylan from Severance. He plays a character named Clev who appears on the street sometimes, like, Spider-Man, do a flip, or recording him or things like that. And they had him pop up throughout this show. And I just thought that was such a delightful addition, and actually got Zach Cherry to do the voice as well. So I love that. Were you excited about that at all? You're like, eh?
No, I mean, I it's hard for me to, there's a couple of specific characters that I think, you know, stood out for me, but overall, I think you can't go wrong with pointing one or the other out. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I hear, and I think you're right, but I just think anybody who's watched this show or who will watch this show could come up with a character and they say, oh man, this was so dope casting. This was so, they did this so very well. And I don't think I would have an issue with them saying this character was done
A bit over the top saying it was the casting coup, but, I was just happy to see him back. All right, let's take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to talk about the other people in Spider-Man's life.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All right, so of course we have to begin with Peter's best friend, my favorite, clearly, Nico Minoru.
Why is she your favorite again?
Why is she my favorite? Oh, because she's witchy. No, I mean, yeah, so she, for anyone who doesn't know or didn't listen to our previous discussion on this, she is from The Runaways, which is a team from the comics. They did a TV show version of them as well. They cross over with Young Avengers in the comics, and they crossed over with Cloak and Dagger in the TV world. So anyway, I find it, I don't know, an interesting, like, I don't know how much to say about her backstory now, because they haven't given us much.
No, just and glimpses.
And there seems to be differences, but it is also, she's with a foster family, and they don't explain why she's with a foster family.
Right.
She has this pendant that does things, and the pendant, so in the comics and in the TV show and stuff, she has a staff that's her magical thing. And so it seems like the pendant is a replacement for the staff, but we don't yet know how it works or anything. We just got a tease at the very end of the season that either her mom is in there, or she thinks her mom is in there. Right. And that it helps her in certain situations. Like at one point she's drag racing and she has like magically good drag racing powers because the pendant kind of like sparkles.
Gives it to her.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. What were your thoughts on Nico Minoru?
I liked her dynamic with Peter. I like this aspect of her. I thought she was, you know, she was not one-dimensional. You know, they fleshed out these characters, you know, mm-hmm. they showed different sides of everyone, mm-hmm. really. So, and how those different sides, you know, interacted with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought she was a great addition to this circle of trust for Peter Parker. And yeah, I'm really interested to see what type of power set and how they play off her magical abilities. And what does that mean? Does she become a student of Doctor Strange? Is Doctor Strange mm-hmm. aware of her magical abilities? Will he become mm-hmm. aware of that? So yeah, I'm definitely ready to see more of Nico.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think she was well used this season because she was, you know, she is Peter's best friend. She is the man in the chair, so to speak, although we'll talk about Harry in a minute. But she had her own, you know, her story this season was mostly about Peter, but she did have her own arc within that in terms of learning to trust him, even though he was lying to her about his identity for reasons she eventually understood. But yeah, they still gave us teases in the background that like we're getting more, you know, where there's right. clearly something going on with that pendant. There's clearly something going on with her family. I think they set that up nicely so that we can delve deeper next season.
Right.
Yeah. And I actually, this is a new character for me.
Yes.
The next one is Pearl Pangan, and she's Filipino. She's a childhood babysitter crush of Peter Parker, and apparently she's a more recent comic book character, so I'm not really familiar with her. But she was a fun addition, and so just to set it up at the beginning, we'll talk more about Lonnie later, but she has a boyfriend at the beginning called Lonnie. What did you think of Pearl?
I wasn't sure where she fit into the scheme of things in the beginning. And yeah, she was fine. She's not my favorite character in the series. I thought, you know, they want to give Peter obviously a love interest and things like that to play off on and, you know, make things awkward in high school. So, but I wasn't sure how much, are they the same age? Is she significantly older? She was the babysitter, but they're in the same class. You know, mm-hmm. there were things that I questioned when watching their relationship on screen.
Well, I thought, because I also assumed Lonnie was older than him. I just thought that Peter was like in a more advanced science class because he's science guy.
Because he's super smart.
That was
smart.
My assumption. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like she was the one, she grew on me as the season went on, and I liked how
I would say that too. I agree with that.
Yeah. And Nico had a crush on her along with Peter at the beginning. So they were kind of like ribbing each other about her, but then it seemed like she and Nico were actually going to start having a friendship by the end. But it does feel like out of all the characters, she's the one that was most a plot device so far.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I was searching for that word and you hit it. So thank you.
Yeah, I am curious to see because I know she does get superpowers in the comics. So she's called Wave in the comics. So that's obviously something that's coming. I guess, you know, you in one season of television, you can't like flesh out everyone, but she was the one that was most flat and just kind of there for Peter to fawn over or to like be like, Lonnie, what's going on with you, Lonnie? Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah, then Peter, he's got this triple act of balancing school, he's now that he's got his spider powers, he's taken up superheroing before and after school, and his internship at Oscorp. And so we talked about Norman Osborn, played by Coleman Domingo. And Norman, obviously, head of Oscorp, and his son is kind of like the pampered prince of this empire, Harry Osborn. And so we meet Harry, Peter saves him on the streets, and then they end up becoming besties, and Harry finds out who he is, and Harry calls himself Peter's dude at the desk. So what did you think of Harry Osborn?
If you didn't like Doctor Strange mustache, I didn't like Harry's hair.
Okay.
I didn't like his hairstyle. That's my only quibble. I hated his hairstyle.
Okay.
I thought he was a very cool addition. I like that, you know, he's super rich, pampered. And again, there's a lot more depth to him than that, you know? And mm-hmm. I think they showed that the relationship between him and his father is a little strained, is a little tense. Mm-hmm. And he's also looking for what Peter's looking for, acceptance in some ways, right? And it looks like they're forming a good team, mm-hmm. which Harry doesn't seem like he had that before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't seem like he knows how to be a good friend at first.
No,
yeah.
No, at all.
Yeah.
And he's learning, and mm-hmm. I like that aspect of the character. I like the dynamic that the three of them have, actually. Nico, Harry, yeah. and Peter.
Yeah, so I want to get into that, but just real quick question. You didn't like Harry's hair. Did you like Norman's hair?
Yes, I did.
Because I was kept thinking, I want to see Colman Domingo in live action with that hairstyle.
That would be awesome. That would be cool. That would be yeah. cool as fuck.
And the suits and yeah.
Yes.
but yeah, so Harry and Nico, they just seem like, because Nico starts, she's like, Oscorp is the worst. They're the evil empire, you know, and then here's the prince of the evil empire. And so Peter wants them to get along because he's like, you're both my best friends. So by the transitive property of best friendship, you must be each other's best friends. And it's not going, it's like got fits and starts. Like at one point, Harry. At one point he sees Nico has tarot cards and he's like, oh yeah, I'm really into that stuff. And so he's like, can I get a reading? You know, and she gives him one. And then he is just being so disrespectful. And he's like, well, I just like it as an accessory. I'm like, Harry, that was the one time I really wanted to slap him. But then right after that, he spills Peter's secret because she's right. like, I know everything. He's like, everything?
You don't know everything.
So, yeah, and then that drag race we referred to earlier is kind of where they start coming back together. So I really like where the two of them ended. Like we haven't yes. seen them yet together as the trio and whether there are new weird dynamics. Because obviously, I was going to say Tom, obviously Peter and Nico were fighting. So yeah, they made up. But how is this like new threesome going to be? But I'm looking forward to seeing the three of them together next season.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's good storytelling because for me, you know, having them try to figure out their relationship without Peter makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes sense.
More balanced. Yeah. Yeah. Reminds me of something else from the Wheel of Time. Sorry, I'm stuck in that.
Man. Wow. Those first three episodes. Jeez, Louise.
They threw everything. It's intense. It's an intense start to season three for anyone who hasn't watched The Wheel of Time season three yet.
And I say, man, and geez, Louise, like with all the good intentions mm-hmm. when I'm talking about Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Right out of the gate this season, just explosive.
Amazing.
Action. Yeah. So his internship, Oscorp, he's got three other interns he's working with. One is Asha of Wakanda. I have the least to say about her, but it's fun. There's a Wakandan there. I don't know. Is she a character in the comics or is she made up for this?
I don't know.
She's just there to bring the Wakandan angle.
And there were times that she didn't sound, you know, from the Wakandan. African continent. You know, like she sounded almost like, you know, from...
She's been living in the U.S. Her accent comes
from. Yeah, it was just weird.
She's code switching.
Yeah. I don't know if she's code switching. That ain't code switching. It just sounded weird. Like, at times she would have this, you know, really pronounced, you know, Wakandan mm-hmm. accent. And then I'm like, are you from the motherland? Like, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you're from the motherland. I think you're up. So what's going on?
We also got Jean Foucault, who at the end of the season we find out is also a superhero named Finesse, and she's working with Daredevil. I was surprised by that.
Yes, I was. I was thrown by that. I did not see that coming. Yeah, that was.
We saw him sneaking around in the building once, but then I kind of forgot about it, and then
That's how he's getting the intel.
Uh huh. Exactly.
That's how DT getting the intel. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other one is the biggest name for comic book nerds, Amadeus Cho. So he's the only one who stays with Oscorp at the end, and I just thought like. They drew him really well. And I looked up the actor who played like everyone. I was just out of curiosity. I was wondering who could play them in live action. And this is one of the ones that definitely works in live action because he's got that perfectly smug smile that just like turns up at the corners of the mouth where you just like want to punch him and kiss him. You know, like he's, I think, yeah. How much do we want to say about Cho?
He's... You know, in the comics, he's one of the top five smartest people in Marvel Comics, right? So I'm interested to see if he's there for the reasons he states that he's there for. Is there something else going on with Amadeus?
Right. Well, you mean, does he want more for himself than just a job at Oscorp?
Is he working for something other than this internship? Yes. Yeah.
And I also, I mean, I think I can say that he's going to be working with technology that has gamma radiation.
Exactly. And he becomes, I mean, I can say it, right? Mm-hmm.
We said spoilers.
Yeah, he becomes a Hulk in the comics, so yeah.
Yeah. But what did you think of him as a character in this season?
I liked it. I thought it was well done. Mm-hmm. Because in some comics, Amadeus is an asshole.
Yeah.
Because he's so smart.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can be smart without being a pompous prick, but not him.
No, I know. But this guy, he's been written that way at times.
So
I totally bought into it. So I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah. No, he's like smug in an amusing way, but also like, oh, I just want to hit you a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so they all have their supervisors and then like but the two supervisors that really matter is Bentley Whitman. He oversees the intern program and very unwillingly he, and we know he's eventually going to become a villain called the Wizard.
Right.
And Carla Connors is Peter's advisor. She's much cooler, much more likable. And they were working on an energy project, making this magnetic engine. And I guess we should say she is missing part of one arm.
Yes, yes.
And we saw an iguana go by at one point.
Exactly. So a lot of lizard tendencies here.
Mm-hmm,
a lot of lizard vibes. A lot of lizard vibes.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that that's where she's going, which is another one where she seems great. But then, I mean, but I guess it is always the case that the lizard in his human form, he's not a bad person.
He's a scientist who's trying to, you know, make things happen for people who are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dr. Connors doesn't start off like a megalomaniac, like trying to take over the world. He's just trying to heal people.
Right. Yeah. But I have a feeling we're getting that origin story with Carla Connors.
I agree.
And yeah, it turns out that all the student projects were designed to work together to create that portal that we talked about.
So dastardly.
And so at the end of the season, Harry Osborn says like Peter's or no, Nico actually says, you know, you could start your own company. And he's like, oh, I could start my own company. And he starts the Worldwide Engineering Brigade, or WEB, and he invites all of the interns. Amadeus Cho says no, and he also invites Lonnie, because Lonnie was a super smart dude before all this other stuff that we're going to talk about. But yeah, I think that that's... I'm excited to see this group together, you know, just the youngins together in this web configuration and against Amadeus. But I did wonder, as soon as he's like, oh, I can just start my own business. I'm like, daddy, not going to like this.
You never know. You never know. Maybe he will like it. Maybe he will want his son to, you know, take more risk and more ownership over his life.
Okay. All right.
He's not the Green Goblin yet.
He's not the Green Goblin yet. This is true. Right. This is true.
So he hasn't taken the serum yet. Mm-hmm. So let's... I'm going to hold off. Once he takes the serum, then all bets are off.
But then I'm also always looking like what's going to push him over the edge.
I think it's going to be the symbiote.
Yeah. You think the symbiote could attach to him?
It's possible. But I think more likely is that the symbiote attaches to someone else and he takes what they've been working on with Peter's blood in order mm-hmm. to try to be the superhero that he believes that the world deserves. Mm-hmm. And once he does that, that's what fractures his mind.
Okay. All right. I could see that. All right. Well, speaking of Lonnie, so Lonnie, a.k.a. Tombstone, he ends up, his brother, Andre, his little brother, ends up getting himself involved in this 110th Street gang. And Lonnie says, like, no, I'm not letting you do this. So he takes their place in the gang. And Big Donovan, the leader, in order to really lock Lonnie in, he's like, go get me this food order over there and, you know, say my name real loud. And so Lonnie gets threatened by another gang called the Scorpions. And so when he comes back to Big Donovan with the food and he says, like, hey, these Scorpion people were after me. And Big Donovan's like, yeah, good. Now they know you're one of us. You have to stay with us if you want your family to be safe. Damn, Big Donovan.
Yeah. That sucks. So messed up, man.
Yeah.
So messed up. But that's how the hood gets you. That's how the hood gets you. They say you'll be safe with us. And before you know it, you're running around, you know, shooting and doing all things, types of things that you never thought you'd be doing.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very well done. Showed how Big Donovan preys on young people and impressionable people, people who are, you know, in not great situations, and how you can be so easily maneuvered into becoming something that you didn't start off as. Lonnie honestly is my favorite character in the series.
Okay. Because of the series or coming in?
No, because of the series.
Okay.
Because of the series. I just love how they portrayed him. He wasn't a dumb jock, you know. He was smart.
He surprised Peter.
right. And, you know, I have so many people that I've met have been underestimated because of the way that they look, right? Mm-hmm. And it was nice to have that shown, right? He was just really, I think he possibly is the most fleshed out character in the series. For me.
Because
he had this trajectory of where you thought he was going and how it veered off and how it ended. When I tell you E was crushed, he said, Papa, he threw away the jacket. He's gonna do the bad things all the time. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, that's not right. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? And I was just like, you know, we had a conversation about it and about, you know, the false sense of a family, of pride that you get with sometimes doing things that are not good. Right. And it was amazing to watch an 8-year-old mind throughout the season see from where Lonnie started. And watch the progression to where it ended at the end of the season, to have that, like, oh, wow, why is he doing this? Oh, no, why they made him do this? You know, it went from they're making him do something to now, why is he doing it? And that was such a wonderful, you know, like, and very telling and poignant moment for me when E made those connections. This is part of why I really love this series, is because sharing it with E was just like, wow, you know, this really hit him and made him ask questions that he hasn't asked before.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not in that type of situation, you know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing a series like this can do is generate conversation at home like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very appreciative of this series for pushing those boundaries, because they could have played it safe. They could have made Lonnie a dumb jock, you know what I mean? And a kid who was bullying others and stuff like that, but they didn't. And he started off in one place that was very hopeful, and it ended in a place where you're very scared for him, of what he's becoming.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it started with, you know, he was like the big football hero at school, but still a nice guy and a smart guy who, you know, was in also into school. But then he had to give up on the football thing because he was pressured to be in this gang. But then I think he started to find that same camaraderie in the gang and Absolutely. That same sense of pride that he used to have in football. So then he, at that point, he's completely 100% one of them, because that's now where he's getting all of that feelings of fulfillment from.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also see at the end of the season, we get, so his he's given the name Tombstone because he like bodies someone or something. But we start to see his superhero origin at the end of this season, where he's exposed to a mysterious gas, as per usual for Marvel. And we start to see, so then he's like becomes super strong and it seems like kind of impervious. And but then we start to see that his hands have some chalky elements, like his skin is starting to turn like this chalky white color.
Yeah. In the comics, he's albino. So I guess this is how they're making that shift.
Mm-hmm. It's tied to his powers. So there was a whole gang, but I guess the only really important Big Donovan, Bulldozer was another one. But it was funny, there was one of the characters comes in at one point and he says, I guess it was Chameleon, and he's like, hey, Big Donovan and Lonnie and no one else. And Bulldozer is like, what? But it's true. Funny. I'm not going to learn all the names in that gang.
No, but that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. So speaking of, we had a bunch of different Russian characters who, I guess they were all working together.
I assumed that they were.
Yeah. So I just mentioned Chameleon, who's Dmitry Smerdikov. There was also, and so he... Yeah, we see him in the beginning, but then by the end, he's wearing this sort of like Man in the Iron Mask kind of mask situation. Yeah. We have Mila Masaryk, who is also AKA Unicorn. And we see her with like all these people have different types of tech. And she has a tech that's shooting like lasers from her forehead like a unicorn.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Roxana Volkov is a new character who shows up. And then we have Mikhail Sistovich, who is, he's definitely going to become Rhino.
Yes.
But like a tech Rhino, it seems. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. We see them working together, but then also at one point, so they end up in jail, and some of them end up in jail. And so then they're trying to help them escape prison. But then Peter, he saves, like, because Mila is going to get one of her own killed because she was using him as bait for Peter, and then Peter saves that guy from getting killed. So then when Mila tries to kill Peter, Mikhail, the Rhino guy, he steps in and says, no, don't kill him. But then Peter says, like, okay, well, thanks for not killing me, but you're going back to jail. And then Mikhail's like, oh, I swear revenge on you, Peter Parker. So we're getting Rhino motivations there. And then we have, so there's those people all had this tech with this Infinity logo on it, but we see other people. We saw Butane, an arsonist who has a high-tech flamethrower and was told to burn down a building, but burns down the wrong one, dumbass.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
We had also a couple, James Sanders and Maria Vasquez, a.k.a. Speed Demon and Tarantula. they also had tech. And of course, the Scorpion gang had this tech too, including most especially Scorpion, who has like the whole suit with the big stinging tail. I was like, cut off that tail.
Let me tell you, when I tell you, when he stabbed Peter, I heard such a scream next to me and an immediate walkout.
Yeah.
Like an immediate walkout, like tears and stomping out of the room.
Oh,
said, no, this cannot be. No, this cannot be. He was so mad. He was so upset that that happened. And, you know, we talked about it and things of that nature. But, you know, he was just like, how could he stab him? He was just kept saying it. How could he stab him? How could he stab him? And he was so affected by that in a way that, you know, he's seen other things. Mm-hmm. You know, he has seen other things. He's played video games, not violent video games. I'm talking about, you know, like Legos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've watched some other Marvel fare. But I think it's because of maybe how young the characters were that it affected E in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they weren't older people who have been fighting aliens. You know, this was really personal. And he felt that, how personal that it was, that it affected him in such a way. That's you know, that's good stuff right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Scorpion's Mac Gargan, and then also the second in the gang is Carmilla Black, who's a future Scorpion. So I think this Scorpion's going to go, but that first fight, I think he's going to be killed at some point and replaced with Carmilla.
Okay.
Especially they showed her a lot this season. So I say it could even happen next season.
They did.
Or he's in jail, and so she takes up the mantle or something.
But I thought the thing fused on him.
It is fused to him, yeah. So she needs a new thing if she's going to do that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but that fight that Peter loses, he lost it hard. That was like really, was no I felt joke. That too, even as an adult.
That was no joke.
Yeah.
He got his ass kicked. That was no joke.
And he only got out of there because Norman sent a glider to rescue him. Like, yay, glider rescue. Oh, no.
Glider.
Oh, no. Norman Osborn's making a glider. This is the beginning of the end. Which, if anyone doesn't know, the Green Goblin rides around in a glider. So we see him like, yeah, he's definitely going to be riding it next season somehow. Probably in a good way at first, but then it's not going to be so good. Yeah. And then Lonnie, this is so we know there's going to be some sort of complexity in their friendship because we'll talk about this final scene in a minute, but Lonnie stops Peter from killing. Like Lonnie is the one, you know, Peter comes in fighting Lonnie's gang and then Lonnie is the one like, dude, don't become what you don't want to be. So that gives us hope for Lonnie, but also, yeah, I'm worried about Lonnie.
Yeah, no, I don't have hope for Lonnie. I think Lonnie gone.
Lonnie gone. Let's take a quick pause here and we're going to come back and pick up with that thought. Just a sec. All right, so you said you think Lonnie's gone.
Yes.
I mean, I did wonder, like, do you think that this was the first and the last time that they're fighting side by side, Peter and Lonnie?
No.
Do you think they'll fight side by side again?
Yes, I do. I do think that. But I think that the Lonnie that we've come to know and root for, I think that Lonnie is gone.
Mm.
And I think it's going to play out, you know, in steps where finally, he's just like, you know, F this. You're messing up with what I'm trying to, with what I got going on, Peter. I can't let you do that no more.
Yeah. I do like that the nuance and layers that they show. So, for instance, what happens that leads to them fighting side by side is that, so Norman visits Octavius in prison because, again, Thaddeus Ross, with Ironman's help, arrested Otto Octavius and Doc Ock, and we see him designing his arms to go on his back. And so Norman's like, oh, by the way, all of your technology, your gamma radiation infinity technology, it all belongs to me now. And so we're going to transfer it all to my new building. And Lonnie's gang, the 110th Street gang, they hear about this transfer and they're like, we're going to hijack the truck and take this technology for ourselves so that we have an advantage over the Scorpions. So Peter shows up to stop this hijacking, having no idea that Lonnie will be there and then being completely surprised by that. And then the Scorpion gang jumps in. So then suddenly Peter and Lonnie are fighting. Peter's fighting alongside members of the gang that he was just fighting against in order to fight against the worst threat in the other gang.
Right.
So I like that. It leaves a lot of, I think in this world, we might see a lot of teaming up like that, where people are like, well, I don't like what you're doing, but what that other person's doing is worse. So let's go get them together.
Right, right. I can see that. I can see that. And I can see, like you said, Lonnie and Peter teaming up, especially now that Lonnie has powers.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely can see them teaming up. But I just think that his criminal activities will slowly and surely start to become the main thing for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the comic books tell us, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, I hate to see it. I hope, I mean,
I know, me too. Me too.
I think this show will keep there, even though we'll see him drift down the darker and darker path. I think we will continually, this is a character we'll see do the right thing in key moments, because he's the one who stopped Peter and says, I think at some point Peter might return the favor, where he's like, Lonnie, is this who you want to be? Do you want to kill this person? And maybe Lonnie, that's a breaking point where Lonnie says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the bad thing.
Oh, you're so hopeful. You're such an optimist.
I mean, Spider-Man canon allows no optimism.
Exactly, which is why I don't understand this optimism from you now.
I don't know. I think, yeah, that this show has established that they will approach all these characters with nuance, even when they turn bad.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how Lonnie does going forward. Very interested. Like I said, this is my favorite character in the show. So I'm really invested. Yeah.
And the fact that he's going to join this web team that Harry Osborn's setting up gives me hope that that's going to tether him to the right side of things, quote unquote, for longer.
Okay. Okay.
That's going to be, because you know he's lost the football team and he's no longer, you know, this star at school that he used to be. So maybe.
Well, he's a star on the streets, though. That's what I'm saying.
But he can be a star at the science crew. If he's like doing well there and he feels a kinship there, then maybe that could keep him on the straight and narrow longer.
Okay.
So speaking of, so we're going to have the web crew doing their superhero stuff, probably like a glorified Spider-Man support team.
Yeah.
I don't blame Amadeus Cho for not wanting to be part of that. That's not, his ego would not allow it. But then we have, so Amadeus Cho, he stayed at Oscorp. And so we're probably going to see him working more closely with Norman. Do you think he could end up replacing Peter as Norman Osborn's protege?
No. No. Because in the way that Amadeus sees, he's no one's protege. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Amadeus walks into the room. Walks into the room and he immediately thinks he's the smartest person in the room.
For sure. For sure.
I just don't see that dynamic working with Norman.
So it could end up being a volatile relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Norman, we know he's working with, has some secret projects going on with some of the Oscorp scientists, including Whitman, who's the one that we think is going to become a character called Wizard, the grumpy head of the intern program. And one of the secret projects, as we already referred to, was definitely trying to study and replicate Spider-Man's superpowers with the spiders they inject with Peter's blood.
Yes.
So
Green Goblin serum incoming.
So explain the Green Goblin serum for anyone who doesn't know.
Oh, this is what gives Norman Osborn powers. Like makes him super strong and makes him super agile. He keeps his, you know, intelligence. But it's it breaks him. Like it's like a someone else is living inside his mind, like almost like a Hulk, Bruce Banner type of dynamic. But this alternate personality, this
is a psychopath.
Yeah. It's all the worst. Think of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's basically who Norman Osborn and the Green Goblin are.
Yeah. And then Otto, we already see, he doesn't seem like a nice guy already. So I like that some of them, sometimes they're like, no, he's not a nice guy who had something bad happen to him. He's just like a dick scientist who wants fame and fortune. So we already talked about his tech, but if they were setting up the Sinister Six, who do you think would be on the Sinister Six in this version?
I don't know, because outside of Scorpion,
Rhino, yeah. We have Tease.
Yeah, we have Rhino, we have Scorpion, Ock, of course, we have Ock.
Connors is Lizard.
Who's Sandman?
I don't know. We haven't seen, maybe Sandman would have to be a new character. I don't think we've seen.
We haven't seen that. We haven't seen Electro.
No. I mean, they might just do a different configuration with like Rhino, maybe. Obviously. Yeah.
But I can see, those characters getting together. Definitely. You know, between Ock, Rhino, Scorpion, to try to take down Spider-Man. I can see that happen.
Yeah. Who are there any characters that you hope will be introduced next season?
No.
No? None? No.
I'm not speculating. I'm not speculating. Okay. It's not out of not wanting to see someone. I just want to see where they take the story.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I want to see where they take the story because I had no expectation going into this season. I really didn't. I didn't read up about the season. I didn't, you know, I had really zero knowledge other than it's going to be year one type of Spider-Man. And I want to keep that same veil over my eyes for season two because I was so pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
That I want to keep. I don't want to set up an expectation for something and it's not there and I'm like, damn, you know?
No, yeah, fair.
Who are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I know for a fact that we are getting Gwen Stacy in season two, so I'm looking forward to that. That will be interesting to see because I did not buy into this whole him crushing on Pearl thing. I'm like, it feels weird. Yeah, maybe because she was his babysitter also, and also just like the Lonnie of it all. I'm like, no, I'm not buying into that. So I would rather see someone like Gwen Stacy for him.
Okay.
I would love for them to pull in more of the Runaways stuff. I mean, I don't know that they want to or should do that much with that in this show because that's like a whole other story. But they brought Nico Minoru into it, so they must be planning on addressing that somehow. Why is she in a foster home? And for anyone who doesn't know, she's her parents. So she thinks her mom's in the Amulet, but her mom was kind of like evil in canon in a way.
Yeah.
Although she, yeah, no, you not know, in there's a way. Redemption not in arcs, a way. But yeah. Not totally sacrificing children evil. But.
That's what the Runaways were. They were a group of kids that found out that their parents were all villains.
Mm-hmm. And so they teamed up.
Sacrificing people in the basement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what their parents were doing.
Yeah, cult rituals.
To maintain power.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they were out and out eat villains.
So their kids all kind of like ran away together, hence the name, and started their own superhero group. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, like, how much can or will they pull in from that? Will they pull in other Runaways characters from that? I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Did you?
That would be interesting.
So I'll say that Nico is canonically bisexual. So she definitely was crushing on Pearl. But did you also get some vibes with her and Harry at the end?
I did. Yes.
I wouldn't hate that.
But more on Harry's end than Nico's.
Okay. Could be. I wouldn't hate that. I want more from Pearl. I honestly would rather see her with Nico than Peter.
Lonnie or Peter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Lonnie, I guess it's over. As soon as like the girlfriend character becomes the, no, what are you doing? Tell me things. I'm like, ugh, end it. End it. Walk away. I'm curious about this. I don't know. I might have to like go read a Wave comic about Pearl's.
Yeah, I don't know
character.
Much about her. I don't know much about her.
No, I'm curious. Apparently she has like water powers. She's like a waterbender, to put it in Avatar terms.
She's a waterbender. That's hilarious.
Did they say, was she a swimmer in this? No. She should be.
I don't
feels
remember.
Like she needed more of her own story, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They definitely made a point that she's Filipino as she is in the comic. So anyway. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I loved how they brought in, I heard a rumor somewhere that maybe Ned will show up, which I wonder. So Ned is the bestie in MCU, but in the comics he becomes Hobgoblin. So I wonder if that will play a role. I would love just like even random, like bring in Ghost Rider, bring in Mysterio, bring, you know.
It's animation.
You can do it
bring
all.
Bring in Ghost Rider.
Add Ghost Rider to everything. It's like chocolate.
It's you're like not chocolate. Slick over here.
Everything's better with a Ghost Rider in it. Well, okay. Any final thoughts on season one or your hopes for season two?
No, just I recommend it for folks to watch. If you have a small person who's into, you know, superhero things, I think this would be cool to watch with that small person. And if you don't have a small person, I think it's a cool watch for you as well. It was really well done. Not all Peter Parkers are the same. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely not the Peter Parker from the MCU. I'm appreciative of that. And I want to see where the story goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would love to see a crossover with the Spider-Verse.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a lot of fun. And if you didn't think there was enough Daredevil, don't worry, because Daredevil has his whole own show going on right now. So you and I, we dropped episodes episodes 1 and 2 of Daredevil Born Again dropped together. So we did a combo episode for those. We did episode 3 because we just felt like that needed a little extra attention, that episode. Yeah. Yeah. So those are already out. And then next up, we're going to do the last 6 episodes in groups of 2. So 4 and 5 together will be the next one up. So we got a great Daredevil email in that I'll be sharing in our next one. Someone saying to us that they were not getting as into the season, and we helped them appreciate it more.
So. Yeah, that was so wonderful to read, and very thankful that folks feel that way about what we do. So,
check out Daredevil. Listen to our coverage on it. Really enjoyed, well, enjoyed is a weird word, but the last episode for coverage of episode 3 was...
It was really good. It was a really good show.
Poignant, yeah.
It's a really good show.
Yeah. So yeah, that's coming your way soon. Wheel of Time, full swing, like I said. There are season passes set up because, so John and I are doing weekly coverage of Wheel of Time. You know, they just dropped three episodes at once. So we, there's a whole, you just got three episodes in the Lorehounds feed for that. But then it's going to be one episode a week going forward. And we have extra lorecasts and a show guide. And all the Wheel of Time coverage to date ad-free for the season pass. Of course, subscribers already get all that stuff and also get other extra episodes like 11Z's, our extra movie review club, had its first ever tie. So,
I mean, these third parties, man, they're ruining everything.
You're saying the third movie that took two votes?
Yes, yes, yes.
Didn't let Zoolander win outright.
Didn't let my Zoolander pick win. This is ridiculous.
I think, yeah, so I think we're going to find a way to cover both. So the two winners are Zoolander and Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So I think we're going to find a way to cover them together. but if you're interested in all that stuff, you can find it in the show notes. And in addition to all of the affiliates like Radioactive Ramblings, which is covering Invincible that just wrapped up its season. And I'm behind on that one, but I know people found it a banger season.
Man, it was, I just finished last night, the season finale of Invincible, and just wow. And as the comic reader who's read the comic multiple times from issue 1 to 149, wow. I'm just like, man, that is, woo.
Yeah, I have to catch up because, I mean, the first two seasons, I went around saying, like, this is some of the best writing on television. So I'm very excited about season 3.
I think you won't be disappointed. I would be shocked if you were disappointed.
Yeah, now that we have been getting ahead on Wheel of Time and stuff, and yeah, now there's time for Invincible in my life. we'll shift dust. We are starting our Dune coverage with the original book breakdown and the adaptations thereof. Of course, there's always a Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast, Rings and Rituals, Properly Howard movie reviews, and Never Mind the Music, where psychology meets music, and I guarantee you will learn a new thing every episode at least. And of course, there's a link to the Discord where we have a Marvel forum under current shows, plus forums for pretty much everything else we're covering. And Jean, I saw you just dropped your latest comic, Rex.
Yeah, yeah, for my polls this week. Just check it out on the Discord, Comics Versus, and just Namor. And I'm not pronouncing it the MCU way because he's not the MCU character. And so Namor, just... one of my all-time favorite characters, quite honestly. And over the last few years, they've done a piss-poor job with him, in my opinion. And this was a welcome series to try to right the ship with the character. And I'm hopeful that we get some really good stories for Namor in the future. But this was just a great new beginning for him.
Cool. I'm excited. Oh, and I did start. So I have Marvel Unlimited. So it means we get all of the comics a few months late. So I started you were talking about the TVA comic.
Yes.
Continuation of Loki.
Yeah.
I only have one issue so far. But so I read the first issue. Yeah. So,
how did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like a definite, like a continuation directly of the TV show. So I'm very curious to see, because this is just the first issue, so I know it's just setting it up. But
I think it's a four-issue series? Five.
Okay.
I think issue 5 is coming out next
week. And issue 4 is the one that Wanda most shows current. Up in. Yeah.
That's most. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, it's going to trickle out to me, but now I'm following it, so I'll get an alert.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. Shall we do the reading of the names?
Yes.
So I've got from the Rhythmic folder this time, Moonlight. Thank you to our Discord server boosters, Aaron K., Tilly the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Doove 71, Athena Agileya, Tina, Listu, Nancy M., Ghost of Perdition, and Radioactive Richard. Thank you so much to all of our listeners. We literally could not do this without you. Thank you especially to our subscribers and most of all to our lore masters, our highest tier of subscribers, that is Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., Brian P., SC, Peter OH, Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Matthew M., Sarah M., DJ Miwa, Andre B., Kwang Yu, Jedi Jedi Bob, Nathan T., Alex V., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Dally V., Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W., The Stew, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Neil F., Ben B., Scott F., Stephen N., Julia F., Carly S., Ilmariel, and always last, Adrian. And if you enjoyed this, then please share it with anyone else who you think is a fan of Spider-Man, a fan of Marvel in general. Ratings and reviews, wherever you're listening, are also hugely helpful to us. Any final words, Jean?
Yeah, I got two things to say. First of all, Moonlight, that's a bop. That's a certified bop right there. We need to run that back because that's a bop. And number two, Feige, you already know what I'm going to say, brother. Damson Idris is Black Panther. He is T'Challa.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities.
Are you ready for a deep dive into one of the most intense animated series out there? Welcome to Radioactive Ramblings, where we are currently breaking down the world of Invincible. Each week, we're going to unpack the jaw-dropping twists, the unforgettable characters, and that trademark brutal action. From Mark Grayson's journey to the darker side of heroism, to our continued love of Debbie, we've got every moment covered.
Mark, I don't want to hurt you.
I'm not the one who's going to get hurt.
You said you don't do threats.
Yeah, well, people change.
Whether you're a longtime fan or just getting started, tune into our exclusive takes, fan theories, and so much more. Catch new episodes of Radioactive Ramblings every week, your go-to podcast for all things Invincible and more.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.